Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good Wednesday morning as we head towards the end of Advent. It's a little chilly here this morning. I don't know what your weather is like, but I got out my kombucha. I think it's kombucha. Like, I don't know. It's tea, and it's supposed to help with my eczema and my overall health, and well, it's starting to clear up, so something must be working. This and 12 different ointments that every single person, you know, I love Facebook for the crowdsourcing abilities that it gives you. So a few weeks ago, I just put out there home remedies for eczema and go, and I got 100, like seriously, 100 different ways, and I've tried half of them, and something's working. Don't know which one, but I love this tea. It's from Yogi, and it's one of my friends who replied is a physician's assistant. She's actually got her doctorate, but she's not a doctor. I think she can go by doctor though, but she's a PA, nurse practitioner, and she wrote kombucha tea. That's it, K-O-M-B-U-C-H-A, kombucha tea. Now, I didn't go for the actual kombucha tea because I Googled it and it kind of grossed me out, but I found this delicious variation of it with lemongrass and plum in it from Yogi, and it's delicious. So hopefully today, not only will that keep me warm while we're on air, while you and I are chit-chatting, it would also hopefully keep my voice from getting so froggy bound, which it seems to be this week. And it will also has caffeine, so it wakes me up. It's just, you know, win-win-win, all around a win. And I'm so excited for Advent to come to a conclusion because then we're at the Christmas season. And I feel like every Christmas season, every Advent, I should say, I'm always the last minute still trying to do stuff. And this was an extra long Advent season and I'm still not completely finished. The Christmas cards are written out, but the letter isn't finished. And I have to send it this year because I didn't send it last year. But that's today's goal after adoration and some more Christmas shopping and grocery shopping list making. You know what, but I'm not stressed as in grumpy about it. I love it. I love being busy and I'm always love the end of the year. I get so excited for the new season, for the new year to come and just all the things that are hopefully that the Lord has planned. I never try to get overconfident in what's going to happen in the new year. Both St. Paul and St. James both write in the scriptures, you know, never say I'm going to do this or this, or never be overconfident that you're going to do this, but say if God wills. So I do pray that God wills that 2017 continues A Seeking Heart and you and I get to chat every morning. I love this. I'm going to go much deeper this year into topics, things that we've talked before. I'm going to bring back up and we're going to, you know, go deeper. And I think it's time. We've been together for 2 years now. It's time for us to go to that next level. You and me and God, let's come to that next level of our relationship. It's, you know, courtship. It's courtship time. It's going to be deeper and more intense and a good way, not like, ooh, intense, serious, because I don't think I've ever been serious. I'm the squirrel girl, for goodness sake. How serious can I be? But I've loved journeying with books and I've loved the on-air book club feel, but I really feel now that the Lord's saying, use your books. That's fine, but we need to go deeper. So this week we're looking at a couple of different book ideas that I'm fleshing out, trying to decide which one to do. The other thing I'm hoping that God wills for 2017 for the Catholic 24/7 to finally launch in Easter week. And I did a Monday show on the Seven Joys of Mary. Today, we're going to look at seven invitations that opened my heart to accept Christ, or you could say seven invitations that kickstarted my spiritual journey. Tomorrow, I'll be finishing off the week. Friday will be an encore show with seven characteristics of God that knocked my socks off. And the show will be in encore, in repeat, until next Thursday. And I'll have a live show next Thursday and Friday. I want to do an end-of-the-year review, and I also want to do a resolutions show. That'll be next week. I'm also going to be trying 2017 to be better at telling you what's coming up next so that you can plan to join me live. And you know, hopefully we'll get some callers also in the new year. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You'll get to know you better. And you always, you can send me a message. You can either text it in 573-4BREAD-4 or send me a message at a seeking heart at breadboxmedia.com or visit reconciledtoyou.com. Today I have kind of a fun blog up for Worth Revisiting Wednesday over on reconciledtoyou.com. It was a couple years ago, 2014, I did my Advent blogging around a reflection book by Scott Hurd, who was here just a few weeks ago. And one of the days he talks about Mary's Magnificat. And I thought, you know, that's kind of an homage to all the wonderful things that God did in her life and for the world. And then I thought about myself, because that's what I do, because I'm a little self-centered, a little bit all about me. I have a pillow, says it and everything. It's all about me. I thought, you know, what has God done for me and in my lifetime, but then in the last year? And so I made it all my own little list, my praise song, if you will, my praise song for 2016. So if you have a praise song that you'd like to share, go to reconciledtoyou.com. You can click on blog. You can see today's Worth Revisiting, the Magnificat and praise song blog for today, and share what's God done for you this year. That if you were going to sing a song to Him, what would you include? It's kind of a fun thought. I'm going to spare you, even though I do really do have a beautiful singing voice, praise God. I can say that because I have nothing to do with it. It was a gift from God. I'm going to spare you me singing my own little praise song today. And we're going to, first I want to share with you a couple things. And then the next session, the next segment, and for the rest of the show, we'll be looking at seven invitations. And these invitations came from people, they came from God, and it's kind of a progression. And I think the point of the seven invitations, the honor of your presence kind of book that I'm thinking, is just to see that faith doesn't happen overnight. It is a journey. It is a slow process. It's a series of yeses to God's invitations. Even those, these are all invitations ultimately from God, but they come from different locations. They'll come from different people in your life. And you know, the Lord is so gentle and kind. He knows how to speak to you. He knows your language. He knows how to reach you. And you know, for me, He used people. He used food. He used books. He used the sacraments. He used and he used visiting a saint's grave. He used so many, and he continues to invite me every day in so many beautiful ways, using trucks and butterflies and roses and saints. It's so magnificent. Our faith, the Catholic faith, is just so magnificent. And I want this book to really be about that mysticism and the beauty that God isn't far from us, that veil between heaven and earth is so thin. Before I go into that, I just want to share from you just a few more stories from yesterday. Yesterday was kind of jam-packed. My days off aren't always so jam-packed, but yesterday's was. First, I had a chance to bring some Christmas love to my godmother, 92 years old. Just love this woman to pieces. One of the greatest gifts the Lord has given me in the last 2 years was just this nudge in my heart to help care for her. And she, praise God, she's able to really care for herself. But the things that she's no longer able to do is, you know, just cleaning up around the house, vacuuming and cleaning the bathroom and just a little, you know, little odds and end things. And I go every Friday and I get to spend time with her. And it has been so magnificent. I've always loved her to pieces, but it seemed, and the sad part is her house is on the way to my church. And I would drive by day after day after day. And then it was like the Lord answered a prayer I didn't even know I was asking, where He made it possible, just really opened up that opportunity for me to spend more time with her. And at 92, we know that we could have two more years. We could have 7 more years. I mean, Zsa Zsa Gabor just lived to be 99. But every day is precious, and you know, can't take them for granted. So we get to, I get to visit her and help her out, and mostly she just makes me laugh, and she prays for me, and she's just a dear godmother. I can't even, like, I really feel for me. I can't even imagine my life without her, because she is such that praying person in my life. And I think for me, she is truly the testament to the power of prayer in a person's life and the power of praying for a person. She's always prayed the rosary, always included me in her prayers. And I think about where I am from, where I've come, and the faith that I have. I really can give much of the credit to her and my great and my grandmothers and my great grandmothers for all of their praying. But we had such a great time yesterday with the giving of the Christmas love, just some slippers in a Mary Undoer of Knots statue, which was so funny. So she opens it up and she says, "When I die, you're getting this." I'm really the only really church-going, Mary-loving person in my family. And I just giggled and I said, "Auntie, no one is going to fight me for this. So thank you." But that was like a Merry Christmas to me. How did I know that I was buying myself a gift when I bought her one? She's so cute. And then lastly, I wanted just to share what an awesome husband I have. Just a remarkable man. Faith is 10 and she's very much into Santa Claus this year for the first time. We don't really talk about it, but school and the kids at school have kind of got her excited. She is in third grade. And that's kind of that sweet spot year, right? That sweet spot year when they're just all about Santa. So he brought her to Bass Pro's shop yesterday. Usually they have a signing Santa. Again, my daughter Faith is deaf, but unfortunately he wasn't in. But he, my husband, hung around for 2.5 hours. They give you a ticket when you get there at 5. 7:30 was his time to see Santa. Well, his daughter's time to see Santa. What, like, just some husbands, some dads are just spectacular human beings. And I just have to give him a shout out for being one of those. He brought her to dinner and then they did some shopping. Apparently they bought me some squirrel thing that she told me she couldn't tell me about. We come back. We'll have more on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras right here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
All right, with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking today about the 7 invitations that really opened up my heart to accept Christ into my life, and or you could call it the 7 invitations that kickstarted my spiritual journey. If you want to help keep the spiritual journey of a seeking heart, I was trying to find a segue. It just didn't work. It's just sometimes like smooth as silk, and other times, you know, it's me. So anyway, if you want to help keep a seeking heart, keep on its journey here on Breadbox Media and help support what we do, especially because this actually, the friend of the show all goes right to me. And I'm very grateful for those who have during the last year stepped up and helped becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com, click on friend of the show. Any friend of a seeking heart for $10 or more a month gets a choice of a prayer scroll or a rosary bracelet, extra giveaways, and every gift, yes, extra entries in every giveaway. We need to re-get those Google Hangouts going. And something that you may or may not know is that you're part of my daily prayers. And, you know, every gift I can give you, nothing aside from prayer is worthy of what you do for me. But I'm happy to send you other things. I know I ran out of prayer squirrels for the last person who was friend of the show, and I'm very grateful that you took the little drops of water. I think I gave you the Pope. No, I may have given you Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas. I forget now what I gave you, but I thank you for accepting that. But I'm having more squirrels made. So if you want a little prayer squirrel of your own, what's a prayer squirrel, you will ask? Oh, that's a good question. It's an adorable little squirrel that is holding a heart for a seeking heart. And you just put it wherever you want and remind you each day to pray, to connect with God for a moment or to pray for others. And he's adorable. And I love the squirrel. So become a friend of the show. Help me out. So grateful, ridiculously grateful. You have no idea. Friend of the show, breadboxmedia.com. And for those who have already done so, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Please know you are in my prayers, and I'll be offering special prayers for you in the 2017 year, offering a novena for each of you for your intentions. And I'll be sending you some information on that. So the invitations that brought me closer to God. So I'm a cradle Catholic. That means that I was born into a Catholic family. I was baptized the week, literally a week after my birth, born on 7/7, baptized on 7/14. As Pope Francis said, everybody should know their baptismal date, and I do. My godfather was fighting in Vietnam, so my grandfather stood in for him, had a proxy as a godfather here. And again, I've talked about my beautiful, wonderful Aunt Louise, my great Aunt Louise, who is my godmother. But my family wasn't terribly faithful people. We actually were terribly faithful people. We were pretty terrible at it. My parents brought me to religious education. Back then we called it CCD. But we didn't, and we went to church during CCD time. And, you know, Christmas and Easter is the only times I ever saw my dad there. I'm sure he went more often, but I only remember him being there at Christmas and Easter. We didn't go during the summer. We took summers off, and we never prayed at home unless it was lightning. If it was thundering out, we had the rosaries going. But other than that, we didn't pray. We didn't talk about God. We didn't pray the rosary. We didn't read the Bible. None of that stuff. But I still had this affinity for the Lord. Just this, I knew that there was a God-sized hole in my heart. And I was searching for him, but not with a whole lot of fervor until I got married. And Kevin and I were just, we were struggling along. We got married at 21. Few years into the marriage, we're like, what's wrong? Like, there's something missing. And so I said, let's try church. So we went to church for a good number of years, still just kind of going through the motions. Until this one year, 2005, for Christmas, one of the students' moms in my preschool, I was a preschool teacher at the time, I owned and operated my own preschool daycare. This one of the moms who I had known from church and who I was starting to get to know better brought me a book for Christmas, and it was A Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. And she said, not only do I want you to have this book, but I want you to help me start a Bible study at my home. And I was like, well, I'm Catholic and we don't read the Bible. Boy, was I wrong. And I'm like, what do you mean Bible study? We come together and share the scriptures? Like, I didn't even know really the word scripture. I was like, we're going to read the Bible together? That sounds like a yawn fest. I was very intimidated, but see, God is so cute and funny, and he knows exactly how we all operate because, you know, he created our brains. He can read them. He gets us. And he knew that if you gave me a gift, I would feel this affinity towards you. All right, let's go with the word guilt. I feel this guilt that I had to go to your Bible study because I was indebted to you because you gave me a gift. Then once he got me there, he knew the second way to my heart was through my belly, and there was awesome snacks. If you want to create a group that people keep coming back to, get snacks. You know what? That's actually really good advice for myself. I'm doing a small group Bible study at the church, and we have a wonderful small group that comes, but you know, we have a few people that have come and gone, and even this week, the turnout wasn't as great as it could have been, so they didn't know they were getting fudge. One of the ladies in our group, this wonderful woman named Vivian, brought us all homemade fudge. It was phenomenal. Even little can't have dairy girl had little pieces of it, and praise God, no ill effects, and it was awesome, off the charts. Anyway, so get good snacks. I just literally made a note to myself to start adding snacks to our Monday night 7 o'clock Bible study at Holy Family. In case you're in the area, East Taunton, you're welcome. We'd love to have you. Anyone, boy or girl, is welcome. It's kind of a new thing for me, as you're going to see, because one of my invitations is about small group. But this invitation, this particular first one, wasn't really an invitation to the small group. It was really an invitation to know God through the scriptures. The Purpose-Driven Life book, if you haven't yet read it, I'm going to highly, highly recommend it. It is incredible. In fact, you know, second note to myself, well, let's do the purpose-driven life next year. Let's do it early in the year. It's so incredible. And it really just opens your heart to the scriptures and how God talks to you through the scriptures. It's very ecumenical. It's not particular. It's Christian. And we're all, anyone following Christ is a Christian. Doesn't matter which denomination you are. It's just God's word and how he talks to us through it. Of course, there are Catholic, easy for me to say, there are Catholic commentaries and understandings to the scripture, but there's also this personal understanding of what God is saying personally to you. And that's the part I never understood or was open to until Claire invited me to her home. And it was truly the turning point. I have been trying to become closer to Christ and go deeper, be more faithful for many, many, many years until this moment. At point, I think I was about 34 years old, perhaps at that point, just really struggling, just not getting it. Maybe I was 36. That makes more sense. Doesn't really matter, does it? That has nothing to do with the point whatsoever. Sorry, rabbit hole. Coming back out now. I had never known how to get close to God until I found the scriptures. And this book, I read it, I think I've read it about 7 times now, and even did a purpose-driven summer. I've taught it, I've led it in group, small group. It is phenomenal. And I think we will open it up in 2017 and do a little bit of reading in there. It was that invitation from her. Just to learn how God talks. Because up to that point, like, I didn't know how to discern what God was saying to me. I didn't even know what that meant. Discern means to hear, to understand, to be able to make sense of what God is calling me to, you know, follow the will of God. But what is that will? What does he want me to do? I'm clueless. But knowing how he talks, because I've read his scriptures, I've read his word in the scriptures, it says it's God's dynamic, living word, inspired, Holy Spirit inspired word of God. And if you're trying to figure out what God's trying to tell you, then you need to spend time in his word. That's really the only way we're going to do that. We're going to grow is to be in his word. I didn't even know the scriptures were read at mass. I had no idea what those readings were. I don't know what, I mean, I've said it before. I thought maybe the bishops were just really good at writing. I had no idea that that was the Bible. I don't know how I missed that in my catechism. Well, you know, I don't have the greatest attention span, so I'm guessing I probably just wasn't paying attention. Most likely, yes. Mm-hmm. Most likely. But after that, you know, spent about 3 years in that group. Sadly, that the friendships in that group, they disintegrated over time because of they left the Catholic Church and we just didn't have a lot in common, and what held us together was no longer there. And I felt this call to know the church deeper through the sacraments. And that was the second and third invitations that I'll talk about when we come back from the break, is this call to go deeper in a sacramental faith, in a life of lived in the sacraments with the baptism, like, really, really understanding my baptismal call, but the Eucharist and reconciliation, so uniquely Catholic, and, you know, living in that, in adoration and receiving the Eucharist more often and going to penance and to reconciliation. And I just felt like this chasm growing between us, and it was her and 3 other people, and I still love them and I still wish them well. And for many years I was very angry, thinking, you know, that was all them. But I see now, because hindsight is such a beautiful thing and forgiveness is such a beautiful thing, that I was at fault, probably more so because I was the one who closed them off and didn't wasn't open to what they were laying down. But you know what, the Lord is faithful, and you're going to see when we come back how the Lord healed that chasm and kept calling me deeper and deeper into relationship with him. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jungers here on Breadbox Media. We're talking today about the seven invitations that opened my heart to accept Christ deeper into my life. And, or you could call this the seven invitations that kickstarted my spiritual journey. And I was just sharing that one of the first invitation was to come and know me better, man. If you watched Christmas Carol yet, you know exactly what that came from. I love that. The Muppets Christmas Carol, best one out there. Best one. And the Ghost of Christmas Present, of whom I was just quoting, best one ever. Ditto. Just so cool. Anyway, to know God better, we need really three things: prayer, sacrament, and scripture. That's it. That's it. Mic drop. That's all we need. But for scripture, that's a little more difficult for me. I wasn't introduced to it very young. I mean, I remember getting my Bible at confirmation, a red covered one, thin paper pages. I have it someplace. I should find it because I've underlined stuff in there. I am a Bible writer inner. I know some people get really freaked out by that. I write all over my Bible. I highlight things. I make notes. I put sticky notes. I have Bibles that are falling apart. You know, my very first one that I got. Let's back up the train for a second here. Funny story. So I'm invited to Bible study. That's the word she used. Do you know what I didn't bring with me? Yep. A Bible. I came with the book, but that was it. Before I knew it, I had a Bible, a book, a notebook. I was ready to go. But my first Bible, some of those girls were so good with their scriptures. So they would say, okay, Romans 8:28. And I would still be going, Old Testament, New Testament. Is that one of the Gospels? Where is that? And like flipping through these pages that were sticking together because it was never used. Tabs. Get yourself tabs. It's don't be embarrassed that you need Bible tabs. They're a gift. They're a wonderful thing to give yourself. Great stocking stuffer. Bible tabs, a must have. Having a Bible, also really important. I have seven or so because I like, every time I see one, I want a new one. Like some people collect precious moments or figurines or cats. I collect Bibles. And I really do love the Ignatius Bible, the one that's the Didache, D-I-D-A-C-H-E, Didache, because it's got the catechism and the Bible together. Love this book. Love it. This one does not have tabs in it, but some of my older ones did. I always go make sure that they're the Catholic Bible, or some of them are the Protestant type translation, the New Living Translation, for instance. I love that. The way that that's written, the vernacular that it's written, it's really easy to understand, but it is with a Catholic commentary in it. So I make sure, because when you're going to read a commentary, you want it to be teaching you what's the truth about your faith. For so many years, the things that I studied, I didn't know the source, and it's confusing, and I was misinformed, and I'd get angry at the church, and lo and behold, it wasn't even the correct teaching of the church. I was misinformed, therefore putting my anger and being separated myself from a faith that really I loved. And it, once I knew the truth of it and what it really looked like, lo and behold, I loved it and wanted to be a bigger part of it. So again, make sure that whatever Bible you're using, the commentaries are Catholic-based commentaries. If you have any questions, if you want a recommendation for a Bible, aseekingheart@breadboxmedia.com, aseekingheart@breadboxmedia.com. If you want to know more about the Ignatius Press Didache Bible, I did a 10 reasons why I switched to this Bible blog, reconciledtoyou.com. Just Google, yeah, not Google. You'd never Google. You could Google, but in this case, you want to just use the search engine on my blog that just Google. Do it again. Look at that. See how the world changes us. It's called search, not Google, but they become synonymous in our brains. Fascinating stuff. Anyway, again, rabbit hole, back out again. Should I call it a squirrel hole? I just squirreled back. So you just go to reconciledto.com. In the search box, put in the word Bible, and the 10 reasons I switched to the Didache comes in there. It just gives you a little bit more insight of why I love that book. And there might be an affiliate link. I should tell you that if you click on it and purchase it from Amazon through my website, I do get a tiny bit of kickback on that. But that's not why I'm telling you to buy it. If you saw my Bible, you would know that this is true and genuine. This is why I love it so much. But there's so many out there. And if you have whatever the interest you have in what you're looking for in a Bible, we can hook you up. Not a problem. A Seeking Heart at breadboxmedia.com. So from this invitation to get to know God's word better, once I started to know the scriptures, I personally felt this draw deeper into the sacraments. I'm starting with Mass. So this is how I realized that the readings in Mass were scripture. So we had just studied at Claire's house that week. I didn't even remember which one it was, but one of the scripture lines. And then I'm sitting in Mass, and there it is in the reading. And it just, big, huge light bulb goes off. I'm so embarrassed to say, but I had no clue. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I get it now. This is the scriptures. The Psalms are in the Old Testament. The first and second readings are either a letter from Paul, the Acts. Like, oh my gosh, I get it. I see it now. Sometimes it's another Old Testament reading. I get it. It was crazy. So the first reading is usually Old Testament or from Acts. Got that right. Then the responsorial psalm, which is from the Psalms, and those are meant to be sung because psalms are songs. There you go. Didn't know that either. Then the second reading is usually a letter from Paul or Peter or James or John. And then, of course, the Gospels from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those four Gospels. Two were apostles. Two were not. FYI. That was news to me too. Like, it was like every day as I studied this book, and we went on from Purpose Driven Life to many books after that. Again, I studied with them for 3 years, and we were always doing studies. We're mostly the book kind of studies, not specifically a Bible study, but books written by really talented, mostly women writers that were drawing us deeper and deeper and deeper into relationship with Christ. And it was in that group that I was growing closer in relationship. I thought, well, how can I be the closest to God? Like, how can I be physically close to Jesus? And the only answer I could come up with after all my research and prayer was through the sacraments. They're an outward sign of God's indwelling in our life. It's tangibleness. Like, I feel the Eucharist in my hand or on my tongue, because now, thanks to my friend Kathy, I only receive on my tongue. It's very humbling to receive on my tongue. And that's because I was taking it for granted. You know, this is Jesus, big deal. Like, you know, receive communion, pop them in my mouth, sit down. Like, that wasn't working for me anymore. I couldn't take that gift for granted. So being a germaphobe and not being in control of how the Eucharist gets, how Jesus gets into my mouth is very much allowing God to work in me and for me to be present in that moment, knowing that this is a very special, special moment in my day of my life, in my week, or my, like, you know, that moment in my life, right? Because we're receiving Jesus, becoming in communion with him. He's about to enter me, and I'm going to be a living tabernacle. Cool, cool stuff. I didn't know any of this stuff. So I wanted to know, how could I be closer to him? So aside from receiving him in the Eucharist, and so I started to do that more often. And this particular day, it was a Saturday that I had gone to daily Mass. And that was kind of new for me as well. And we had just switched churches, and I was leaving Mass that morning. And the lady that had been my seed planter in high school, I made friends with this girl named Liz, and Liz's mother was so devout. I loved her. She had just such a peace and joy about her. And I wanted to know what it was, you know, what about her gave her this. And so she's the one who started me kind of trying to come deeper. She gave me lots and lots of pamphlets and booklets and novenas and prayer cards and rosary beads. She was wonderful. She was a sacramental queen. She gave me all kinds of stuff. And that started on my my journey. I call her the seed planter because that was, you know, when I was 15, 16, and I didn't really fall in love with Christ yet, but really planted that seed. And as we hear in St. Paul's writings, like one person will plant the seed, another will water, but God is the one who sows. So she was the planter. And then I would say that that Claire and the scriptures and all of that came, that catalyst from that moment where the water is, and then God is truly sowing it in my heart. So anyway, I went to adoration. I went to mass that day. I'm leaving. She's sitting on a stone wall right outside the door. She said, "Hey, do you know that we have Saturday adoration and we need adorers? We need someone to sign up." And the only time left was from 2:30 to 3:00. So I went in, I waited a reasonable amount of time expecting her to be gone by then, went out. She was still there. She said, "Did you sign up?" I said, "No, ma'am, go back in." So I did this like 3 times and eventually I realized she's not leaving until I sign up. God is so good to me. So I signed up and that 2:30 to 3:30 Saturday appointment with Christ became the absolute catalyst for everything that God is doing in my life right now. The ministry, the relationship I have with Him, the writing, this show, just you and I knowing each other. This is all from that moment of saying yes to her, to Mrs. Perfetti, but really I was saying yes to spending time with Christ in the Eucharist and in His presence. Spending time with Jesus in the Eucharist is a foretaste of heaven, and so many miraculous and amazing things happened to me in that moment, including how I became more attuned to and eager to head to reconciliation. Yep, that's coming next. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking today about the 7 invitations that opened my heart to accept Christ. And I don't mean just my heart. Like, these invitations are universal. That's why I want to write about them. This week's shows are trying to decide which book to start with. Do I want to start with the 7 Joys of Mary? Do I want to start with the 7 invitations that really could change, that changed my life? And I know they could change other people's lives when they're open to say yes to God's invitation to know scripture, to live a life deeper in sacrament, spend a life closely linked to the Eucharist, to accept God's mercy and reconciliation. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. To be, to be open to serve God. You know, I think that invitation, once my heart was softened and open, I wanted to do God's will. And part of that was the adoption of my daughter. I know without the strong faith life that I now am so blessed to have, there's no way I would have gone to China to bring her home. I wouldn't even been praying to be open to have heard the call, nor would I have been at Stephen Curtis Chapman's concert when I really felt the Holy Spirit just empower me to move ahead with this. I also, the invitation to be in community, we had that initial invitation into community for the Bible study. But then from there, you know, I've really found a very strong Catholic community on the internet. I was just perusing Twitter one morning before we went to co-op. I was homeschooling my 2 boys at the time. I hadn't even brought home Faithy yet. And there was a tweet from Sarah Reinhart, our friend here who comes once a month to visit and talk about books and life. She had tweeted out for CatholicMom.com that she was looking for tech talk writers. And I have a master's degree in technology and education. I absolutely love Catholic technology. I was very much into apps at the time. This was 2012. So quite a few years ago. No, that's not even right, because I would have had Faithy by then. Anyway, maybe I did have Faithy by then. I'm not good at the time thing. And you're saying to yourself, doesn't matter, Allison, get to the point. I'm gonna. Anyway, I said to the kids, like, we're going to be late for co-op. Just sit yourselves down. Don't move, because I need to apply for this position, which was, you know, just a volunteer position. But I really wanted to become part of the writing world of CatholicMom.com. But no, I didn't realize at the time that it was so much more than just becoming a part of, you know, just writing a blog post once a week at this for CatholicMom.com, or telling people about apps. It was really becoming part of a Catholic online family. And from there, I've discovered Blessed Is She. I've discovered Women in the New Evangelization, which is Wine, with Kelly Walquist, who's visited us a few times. And I'm going to be very, very proud and honored to be leading their online Lenten book club around Walk in Her Sandals. That's going to be really fun. It's just this idea of knowing you're not alone, and that other people are on this journey, you know, losing those friends and really struggling to find myself a new community of believers, a new faith community that was on the same journey, a similar journey, was not easy. And so grateful to live in a time and age where we have this amazing ability to connect. I mean, look at you and I. We are connecting over an airwave. Like, you're in your car, or your living room, or your bedroom, or, you know, maybe on a walk, and we're talking. We're, you know, and you're welcome to the other half of the conversation anytime. 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. But what an amazing world that we live in, that we can share this faith journey together. Or you can send me an email, aseekingheart@breadboxmedia.com. So it was this invitation into a community, an online community. And I think that's important. I think that's an important part of this whole faith journey, because the devil wants to isolate you, and he wants to think you're alone. But if you find other like-minded, like-believing people, you realize you're not, and that's empowering. There, the reason I think Bible study worked so well for me was because it was accountability and fellowship. I found other people who believed like I did, was struggling like I was, and looking to believe, but also accountability, like having that book or having that weekly meeting. And I always tell people, when you're going to do a small group, weekly, not once a month. I know that that seems more tempting, like, oh, once a month, that's what people can do. All right, so not everybody's going to come each week, but you have to, and you don't even have to be the one that commits to be there every week. You can have a team, say four or five of you, so that if you can't be there, it still happens. Once a week is crucial, absolutely crucial for growing in faith through a small group community. Just saying. Really, really important. So we had the purpose-driven life, an invitation to Scripture. We had this invitation from Sarah from CatholicMom.com, which was really this opportunity for online community, for fellowship, for growing in faith, for more information. Because I think you also need to grow with more information. Like, reading all that blog and all the information that's on Wine and Catholic Mom and Blessed Is She and all those wonderful sites that are out there help me grow as well. So you need information. Catechism doesn't end with confirmation. You need to continue to teach yourself and catechize yourself so that you understand, because God is an infinite, unplumbable being, right? We'll never know everything there is to know about God. So if the faith, the Catholic faith, is you know, one Catholic apostolic faith, if this is the thing that Christ started, that he was told to start from his father, if this faith, this Christian faith, will never be completely understood. And I have been studying now pretty much daily the Catholic faith for nearly 10 years. And every day I discover something new about God, about the faith, about how I personally am called to live it. It's phenomenal stuff. The other invitation was the sacraments through adoration. And I said I was going to talk about reconciliation, but honestly, I've talked about that on a previous show, and I'm going to just put the link in the show notes instead. And I'll talk about that more in 2017, because whatever book I decide to do, you're going to help me write it. when we're going to flesh it out together. We're going to go deeper, and I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but we're going to really get to the stories and the teaching and the understanding so that we together can create a book that we can share with others to bring them closer to Christ. And if it's invitations that we need, I mean, what better way to invite somebody to come to know Christ better than through a book that includes reflections and stories, analogies, Bible study? It's going to have in it the actual scripture verses that you have to open up your Bibles and dig in and read and write about them and reflect if you choose to, but you'll have to look them up yourself. And I think that's crucial. I know from all my years of Bible study, when the scripture is there, it's fine. But when I have to look it up, sometimes the Lord, what he wants to say to me, it's before that scripture that the author found, or after, or I need the commentary, or whatever it is. I think opening up our Bibles and tangibly touching these beautiful books is a incredible way to grow closer to God and deeper in faith. And for me, that was tantamount. I was also accepting God's mercy and his forgiveness, knowing that I'm not worthy of what he did, but I am beloved, and therefore he wants to give it to me anyway. That's grace, the undeserved yet freely given gift of God's Holy Spirit within me. And reconciliation was really very powerful. And me starting to let go of my guilt, my shame, my fears, my doubts, and to embrace God, I have to redo. That's why I'm so grateful that the sacraments of the Eucharist and of reconciliation are repeatable, because I need to go every week, sometimes every month. I try not to go longer than every 2 weeks. It's, you know, this week with Christmas coming, I'll be trying to get to confession this week. And what really just made me fall in love with it was the healing aspect. I had never realized that the sacrament of reconciliation was actually for healing. It heals that chasm between me and God. It restores my place in the church and my relationship with the church. And of course, it makes right again my relationship with those that maybe I've hurt or have hurt me, and with myself. You know, it's so easy to forgive others. We're so hard on ourselves. So reconciliation plays many roles, and it's such a credible gift from God that we need to receive, open, and use. And I hope that you will, especially this week as we come closer to Christmas, and you're getting ready to receive Christmas Jesus, I call him. Christmas Jesus. We need to have a clean soul. We need to just fresh start. It's coming for the new year is especially too. So if you don't make it for Christmas, try to make it before the new year so you can start fresh in 2017. Let God have all that shame and guilt and sin and temptation and weakness. Let him have it all, because he says his power is made perfect in your weakness. Bring it to him, leave it at the foot of the cross, be filled with grace that helps you to make better choices, to be stronger, to go forward seeking what's good. And it's good stuff. So get to confession this week or next if you haven't already. The other two invitations I wanted to quickly talk about as we're coming to the end of the show was, one was the invitation to go deeper through pilgrimage. And that pilgrimage that I will wait to talk about another day was World Youth Day. Many, many miracles and intercessions. It was incredible. And I want you also to be thinking about coming on pilgrimage with me and Father Kevin Cook, my pastor. October 2017, we're looking to go to Poland. It's about $3,500, includes airfare, some of the meals, many of the meals, and all the transportation and entry fees into all the places that we'll be going. So October 2017, think about coming on pilgrimage. And the other one was the small group. I did get to all the invitations. Fun stuff. Tomorrow we'll be looking at 7 characteristics of God that knocked my socks off. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jinkeris here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.